So let's start. So our next talk is about two very interesting worlds, broadcast and WebRTC. Please welcome Dan.
Thanks, everyone. Merging two worlds, broadcast and WebRTC. I'm Dan Jenkins. I've been doing stuff with WebRTC for probably just over 10 years now. And I guess very recently, I've been more involved in, air quote, broadcast. And there are other ways that you can talk to me. Email, Twitter, that thing that's about to die, and Mastodon. Merging two worlds, broadcast and WebRTC. So I guess to talk about WebRTC and broadcast, we need a few definitions of some of the things we're going to talk about. So WebRTC, what is WebRTC? How many in the room know about how WebRTC really works? Hands up. Okay, about 25% of you. So that's good. So WebRTC is encrypted by default, sub-second glass to glass, it's open source completely, two-way communications, no defined signaling, which is kind of a good thing, and it's got a load of required codecs that you have to implement to be compliant. I use the word compliant. I don't think anyone's actually going, you're not compliant, but hopefully they will one day. It's embedded in every single browser, so that's the key thing here. Every single phone in every single pocket can do WebRTC without having to download anything. And that is the key thing. You can use your own codecs, but you can't use them from within a browser today. You could build something natively and use your own codec, but takes away some of the magic. Delivery is over UDP, and it's got a load of NAT-busting stuff with what we call ICE. There's one main thing called libWebRTC that everyone talks to everyone else about as though it's WebRTC. It's not. There's libWebRTC provided by Google, but they don't really provide it anymore as pre-built stuff. But then there are loads of other open source, independent versions available in many different languages. No signaling defined in the spec, so that's a big thing here. It was a good thing when it got made, when WebRTC first kind of became a thing. We'll come back to that later. So then there's SRT. SRT is a secure, reliable transport. How many people in the room use SRT or know how SRT works? Probably about 25%, but it was a different 25% than before, mostly. Again, it's open source. It's used heavily in the broadcasting industry. It is UDP based. It really requires native apps, no browsers involved at all. It can be encrypted optionally. Most people use it encrypted, but you can use it without. And it is completely and utterly codec agnostic. But again, there are usually predefines that people use. It can be sub-second, but usually it's not. And it can be used within across the internet or within a LAN. NDI, how many people in the room have used NDI and know how it works? About 25%, some of the same crowd again. So network device interface. I mean, who came up with a stupid name like that? Like, network device interface. So what am I actually doing? I always forget what it's actually referring to. It is not open source. And it comes in multiple forms. So there's pure NDI, which gives you like a huge amount of data. Then there's HX, HX2, and HX3. Designed to work only within a LAN. Yes, you can make NDI kind of work across the internet now, but it's not really NDI, right? It's actually using WebRTC to do some of the magic. Ultimately, it's designed to work within a LAN, and it's not open source, but it is free to use, but the licensing is a little bit confusing some of the times. It's a bit of a weird one. But again, it is hugely popular. And yes, it uses UDP as well. All the good things with media use UDP, right? Then there's RIST. How many people have actually used RIST? Okay. How many people understand how RIST actually works? So for the recording, I don't know, 1% of the room, 2% of the room. So RIST is actually really quite interesting. It is reliable internet stream transport. And to be honest, I've never used it, but I had to learn how it actually works to be able to confidently talk about it in front of you guys. So again, it's open source, it's UDP based, it is encrypted, it's RTP based, and it's relatively new in the grand scheme of things. And it can work within a WAN or a LAN. The other forms of media transport are not worth talking about right now because they're not really real time. And I know some of you are going to look at me and go, But bear with me. So merging two worlds, WebRTC and broadcast, and broadcast and WebRTC. They're two worlds that have not really come together in the past 10 years. I know lots of people from the broadcast industry look at WebRTC as a dirty thing. It doesn't do this and it doesn't do that. But hopefully that's all changing for the better, right? So they can now live in harmony. Hopefully. Maybe. So because of something called WIP and WEP. So let's take a look at WIP and WEP. WIP stands for the WebRTC HTTP Ingestion Protocol. And this is how it works. I'm not going to bore you going through that. But, I mean, ultimately, there's an HTTP request, request response, and then media flows. It should be as simple as that, right? Then there's WEP, which is the WebRTC HTTP egress protocol. Kind of looks similar, right? So that's really great. And then there's this third one called WOW. WebRTC HTTP offer answer protocol. I wish it did exist. I think it would be really cool, but it doesn't exist. I messaged the author of both WIP and WEP this morning and went, we can just get rid of WIP and WEP and just have WOW. But no. These strangely look like signaling protocols to me, right? And I said it was really great that WebRTC didn't have a signaling protocol, didn't I? Well, it was great back in the day. It drove innovation. It drove many, many different applications to do things in their own way that made sense to them. They didn't have to use XMPP. They didn't have to use SIP. They could if they wanted to, and many did. Or you could go build something yourself using a JSON API, GraphQL, whatever suited you the most, right? There was no defined way of going, here's an offer, and here's an answer. It was great until it wasn't. I say it wasn't because no enforced signaling protocol meant that there was a lack of industry support. So we had all of these islands that didn't really know how to talk to one another. One of those problems that Matrix is trying to solve. But ultimately, we had the likes of Jitsi and Teams and Google Meet and whatever else, all doing great WebRTC things, air quote great, but none of them could interrupt with one another, and that was a real shame. And it meant that when we came to the broadcast industry, no one wanted to implement, oh, how do I talk to Millicast? How do I talk to Dolby? How do I talk to Flowcast? I whatever, right? They were never gonna implement these 10 SDKs, 20 SDKs, to be able to talk to specific companies, services. How do you use WebRTC to deliver media while implementing a different API for everyone? And the simple answer is, you didn't, right? The broadcast industry as a whole didn't enjoy WebRTC for many reasons, not just lack of signaling, but many this signaling was one of them. So you used a different protocol that would solve everything, right? Whether or not it was RTMP, whether or not it was RIST or SRT or whatever. So whether or not you're a fan of WebRTC or you're not, it does have its uses. So, and up until recently, you'd have to use an SDK or whatever, and interop was really, really difficult. WIP and WEP. So, WIP and WEP. I'm actually going to try and get Sergio to change ingestion over to ingress or ingest, just so that it kind of flows nicely with one another. And they're both drafts in the IETF. Drafts are nothing to be scared of. We all know that. Some businesses don't. Some businesses look at it and go, huh, it's still a draft. Aha, we're not going to do anything with that. But we all know that drafts can be a really good thing. So what is actually WIP and WEP? Why have you come here today to find out what they are? So WIP. So you do a HTTP post up to a server. So WIP and WEP are really designed around getting media from a server, not another peer that's within a firewalled NAT or anything like that. It's designed for, here's a client, here's a server, I want to put media here, or I want to go grab media from there. So WIP, you do an HTTP post with an SDP offer, and then within the response, you get an SDP answer. And then you're done. That's pretty much it. Like, we can all go home now. WEP, pretty much exactly the same. You do an HTTP post with an SDP offer, and you get an SDP answer in response, and you're done. Like, they are pretty much not quite identical with one another, but they are. You do one HTTP request. Well, you can also like do ICE, trickle ICE using options, requests, and whatever else. But in its most basic form, you can do one request and one response and get media flowing. So what does that really get us that we didn't have before? Hardware encoders. For me, being able to bake in WIP and WEP support into hardware encoders and software is the biggest thing. The Talon hardware encoders support WIP today. With others, I know us are about to support it as well. Software support, OBS. So there's already, historically, there's been a version of OBS that was WebRTC-ified and by the Cosmo team. But it was very much kind of designed around like offering up to Millicast mostly. But they supported it and you could do stuff with it. But today there's a pull request open on OBS to add WebRTC support into OBS using WebRTC Rust. We've heard a lot about Rust in this room today. And that's absolutely fantastic. So now you'll be able to publish to a WIP endpoint and be able to just do it with a URL. And that's really quite cool. And then once that's been merged in, the plan is to add WEP support, as far as I understand, and then add added extras around extra provisions around RTP headers, specific things. But at the moment, it's a very basic pull request. I say it's a basic pull request. It's a very complicated pull request, from what I understand. But you've got to start somewhere without all the bells and whistles. Software support, again, so GStreamer. GStreamer now supports WIP and WEP as syncs and sources. And this is absolutely huge, again. Got properly released in 1.22. It was released earlier, but obviously 1.22 is not a development release. And so you can go and use WIP and WEP from GStreamer today. And there's loads of platform support out there. Dolby/Millicast support it. Cloudflare support it in Cloudflare Stream. And then Broadcast Bridge, my product, also supports WIP and WEP. So yay, this is great, right? So using WebRTC for ingress and egress just got a whole load easier. There's now a standard, it's a fairly easy standard, and we can just kind of get on with our lives, right? So Simulcast and SVC are both supported. They're called out in the draft, you can do this. Because ultimately, it's just an HTTP request transferring SDP, right? Anything you could do within your SDP, you can do within WIP and WEP, basically. Yes, SDP still remains. If you don't know what SDP is, it's a block of text that magically says, here's how to set up media. And, you know, it's probably, at worst, I don't know, 300 lines of code. I haven't looked recently. It's huge. It can be huge because it can tell either side, this is how I, this is, this. These are all of the codecs that I support. These are all of the codecs that And then the answer comes in and goes, yeah, we're going to negotiate this. So SDP is a mess, but it does its job really, really well at the end of the day. And because it's just SDP that we're using with WebRTC everywhere, it gives us the freedom to be able to do whatever we want. So that's extra codex. That's being able to just say, oh, I'm going to make a random codec that does something very, very specific to my use case. It's not going to work in a browser, but it does work for my use case. And if both ends know how to talk about that codec, then you can do that. Opus Red, for example. Opus Red hopefully will become standard in the browser. I don't think it is today. I think it's still behind a flag. But being able to put in redundant packets of audio is really quite cool. So hopefully that's going to turn up in a browser soon. But yeah, it also allows you to do RTP header extensions like DTX, etc. So yeah, I mean, you're all looking at me like, this is a bit boring, right? And yeah, WIP and WEP is a bit boring. Like, it's not groundbreaking at all. And like, sorry, Sergio, he's going to watch this later. He's the author of both, or co-author of both. Yeah, it's not groundbreaking at all, right? It's just an HTTP offer and answer. It should be called WOA, right? No traction for that in the room. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there is some state handling in there as well. Obviously, you have to keep track of things and whatever else. But I mean, it's really great. So it gives everyone these two common protocols for send and receive. And that leads to open innovation and open source projects. So there's already projects out there that do SRT to WIP. So you can take in your SRT that you've been using for the past however many years, and then you can make it WIP because your media server only understands WebRTC, right? There are projects out there, GStreamer being one of them. There's WebServer that from the Meet Echo team. There's WebPlayer from the Meet Echo team. And Ivan from Sweden. The WIP server, again, WIP client. These are all browser-based tools, or they're all command line tools, or they're all server tools that talk to Janus for you to be able to make Janus understand WIP and WEP. So it's a great time to start looking at WebRTC if you haven't already done so in the past. I've got the same slide twice somehow. Side note, GStreamer. GStreamer is really cool. It allows you to pipe all of these things to all of these things, right? And it's really quite cool, and it even supports RTMP. You don't have to love WebRTC, and you don't have to love everything about it. I mean, I certainly don't love WebRTC every day. There are times that I literally want to throw it against the wall. But it does its job really, really well, and it is incredibly useful. And it is just another tool in the toolbox. Sometimes SRT isn't right. Sometimes RIST isn't going to be right, whatever. Like, sometimes you are just going to need WebRTC. So WIP and WEP open up all of those possibilities, and I haven't talked in detail about any of them, but hopefully you've got enough information to get going. So thank you very much. One more thing. ComCon 2023 is a conference that I run in the UK, and that's happening this year for the first time in person since before the pandemic. So expect a announcement on dates and venue soon. And that's me. Thank you very, very much. Oh, and we're hiring just like everyone else. So if you want to do software engineering in the UK around these kinds of technologies, then go to jobs.everycastlabs.uk.
Any questions from the floor?
Have you used the
CDI,
AWS CDI, and JPEG XSS?
AWS CDI and
JPEG
XSS? No.
It's for real-time streaming of broadcast, uncompressed video.
Oh, okay. I'll come and... I didn't catch all of the detail.
AWS?
AWS is...
Oh,
right. No, I haven't used AWS's product called CDI. I try not to use anything AWS, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, when's it going to disappear? No, I haven't. So AWS's product does broadcast uncompressed stuff. Okay.
Is there any matrix effort with WIP and WEP?
So is there any matrix effort around WIP and WEP? I honestly don't know. I can't imagine so, because they're designed to, like, matrix is designed to kind of bridge between media servers. And so they already have ties into those media servers, so they wouldn't need WIP and WEP, I imagine. But that would be a question for the matrix team. But I don't imagine it turning up. You had a question.
It's, you mentioned simulcast and SVC are supported. I haven't read the latest draft. Do they have, like, a way to do layer selection on the client?
So the question is, simulcast and SVC are supported. In the draft, does it tell you how to layer select? No. There's a note that says, oh, there's nothing stopping you from doing simulcast or SVC. But as far as I could see this morning, when I was finishing off my slides, there's no further detail on that. But yes, we shall see. But there's still drafts, there's still time to add detail and stop things from happening that we don't necessarily agree with. Yeah.
Does that hardware you showed support SVC or simulcast?
I don't think so. From memory, I've not actually used the hardware myself. I've just read the press releases and talked to people that are using it. As far as I'm aware, they're not. They are just using a stream that they're getting, and one stream with one layer. But yes, it's SVC is kind of the future of having options, right? And so it needs to be a first class citizen in whatever we're doing in the future. And it's now released VP9 SVC, and I think AV1 SVC are now released in Chrome. That's going to be released into stable very, very, very soon. So we're going to have all of these options in the browser natively really soon.
More questions? No. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much.